Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the half-year results briefing conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, February 21, 2017. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Ms. Kim Besharkari. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Altium's fiscal 2017 half-year results call. It's really great to be back in Australia this week for the release of Altium's half-year financial results and investor meetings. We all look forward to meeting with some of you over the next few days. My name, as mentioned, is Kim Besharati, VP Investor Relations and Corporate Affairs at Altium Limited. And I would like to start by introducing the speakers on today's call, our CEO, Aram Mirkazemi, and our CFO, Joe Badui. Earlier this morning, Altium released to the ASX the company's fiscal 2017 half-year results and investor presentation, which we will discuss at investor meetings in Sydney and Melbourne over the next few days. During this call, we would like to elaborate on Altium's financial performance over the past 6 months and share with you our thoughts in relation to Altium's exciting journey ahead. Specifically, we will update you on some of the details of our progress and strategy towards our definitive goal of PCB market leadership by 2020 and the ongoing expansion of our market opportunity. As a reminder, today's call in the Q&A section may include forward-looking statements regarding Altium's products, its future operations or financial performance. Any such statement will be based on the current assumptions of Altium's management and subject to risk and uncertainty that may cause the actual event or result to differ materially. On that note, I'll now hand over to our CEO, Aram Mirkazemi.
Thank you, Kim, and good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to report that Altium had another strong performance in the first half. We grew revenue and sales by 14%, and at the same time, expanded our EBITDA margin. We are on track to achieve full-year EBITDA of 30% or better. I should mention that I consider this to be a remarkable result because we will do so while we are building further capacity across different regions and incurring one-off costs related to restructuring and acquisition expenses. It is gratifying to see our commitment to our line and length strategies actually paying off. It was 3 years ago that we set ourselves the goal of achieving $100 million in revenue by 2017, which at that time sounded pretty challenging. I'm pleased to report that not only are we set to achieve this target, but we will exceed this goal in the next 4 months. 6 months ago at our full-year results presentation, we shared with the investment community our goal of reaching $200 million by 2020. We've been diligently working hard on all fronts to ensure that this target can be achieved. Our financial performance in the first half is indeed an encouraging start. While admittedly, the required run rate is higher for the pursuit of this goal than our previous $100 million revenue chase, given the stronger batting lineup with the new products and partnerships, I'm confident that we can chase down this target. The recent transformation of our EMEA sales organization is a good example of preparation for the next leg of our journey. This is beginning to bear fruit with healthy growth in EMEA sales. We have acquired our long-term resellers in the Netherlands and the UK. We now sell direct in Germany, Switzerland, Austria, Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Finland, and UK. And we intend to further expand our direct presence in EMEA. China is yet another example of building more capacity into our sales force. Some of you may remember we have been working for some time to take our sales in China to the next level. China's performance in the first half delivered exceptional growth. This could be an early sign of Altium finally breaking through to realize our immense opportunity in China. The Americas experienced solid momentum in the first half of 2017 for renewals, upgrades, and add-on licenses. However, despite continuing strong market demand, our new logo sales did not quite reach the levels achieved in the first half of 2016. This was partly due to increase in our effective price and also partly due to our sales organization reaching capacity after explosive growth in 2016. Altium management has addressed this by building further capacity into our sales organization in the Americas through a structural adjustment to add more power to our direct sales teams in the second half. Early signs in the beginning of the second half are more than encouraging. As many of you will appreciate, Altium's commitment to delivery of double-digit growth has been a strong signature of the company over the past 5 years. During this time, we have seen acceleration of Altium's performance across many regions. Altium's global performance has been consistently trending upwards in a linear way. While at the regional level, the company's performance is often characterized by step growth, a rapid rise followed by a slowdown in growth. Is caused by the nature of our transactional sales and the challenge to add capacity in an incremental way. Over the past 5 years, we have seen this step growth play out in EMEA, China, and Americas. During the pursuit of our 2020 revenue target, I will expect these trends to continue without impacting the overall consistency of our performance. As we look towards our 2020 goals, our partnership with Dassault Systèmes SOLIDWORKS will play a critical role. The partnership enables us to expand our market reach beyond PCB design into the larger mechanical CAD world. We have stated that of our $200 million revenue target by 2020, 5 to 10% will come from an OEM product. This is not a forecast, rather than a statement about the makeup of our $200 million revenue target. While it's early days, we are seeing strong investment by SOLIDWORKS in empowering its channel to sell this new product. A further key component of our 2020 goal is M&A. On this front, we are continuing to actively pursue M&A and partnership opportunities to support our goal of PCB market leadership and our long-term vision to bring about a transformation of the EDA industry. We are currently in discussions with a few companies to pursue this strategic goal. However, we are also mindful of not affecting our commitment to the delivery on our line and length strategy. Altium's acquisition of Octopart is performing well and delivered a record performance over the first half of 2017 of $3.5 million revenue, up 65% on the same period 1 year earlier. Octopart is a great example of an acquisition that has both strategic value and supports our line and length strategy. During the first half, Tasking performed exceptionally well. Considering it reached almost the same level of revenue as the previous corresponding period, but without the benefit of a large single transaction. Altium's Tasking business has been improving since we changed strategy and direction to focus on Infineon and capitalizing on the rise of Infineon's Tri-Core and Oryx chipset within the automotive industry. Recently, Tasking has achieved much sought-after industry accreditation, ASPICE Level 2, critical for being the market leader for Infineon-based products for the automotive industry. Tasking has reached a critical point in the revival and progression, back to reclaiming its number one position for compiler technology in European automotive industry. Consequently, we have responded by investing in tasking to modernize its organizational structure. This has resulted in a one-off cost for the first half of around $700,000. It is expected that tasking will continue its rise through 2020. During the second half of 2017, we will launch our new product, Athena, expanding our drive into the higher end of the PCB market. Athena has been under development for several years. This new product will usher in a new era of performance and capability for power users and high-end customers of Altium. It will run our next-generation technology platform, X2, and will deliver new levels of capability in user experience, 3D graphics, and multi-board systems. We do not anticipate any material revenue from this new product until 2018. I will now hand over to our CEO, Joe, who will provide more color on our first half results before making some concluding remarks at the end of the call.
Thank you, Aram, and good morning to everyone. I look forward to meeting with some of you over the next few days as we undertake our investment roadshow. Over the first half of fiscal 2017, Altium's strong growth in revenue and sales, along with our operating leverage, delivered an EBITDA margin of 25.8% for the half. This is up from 25% for the first half of fiscal 2016 and reflects the growing momentum of the business. Altium has grew profit before tax by 11% to US $10.8 million. Altium's board and system division grew revenue by 10% and sales by 14% for the first half, compared with the corresponding period 1 year earlier. Globally, Altium designer licensed seats increased by 1% over the first half of fiscal 2017 compared with the same period 1 year earlier. The size of Altium's subscription pool has grown by 4% since 31 December 2016 to reach over 32,320 subscribers. As Aram mentioned, EMEA has delivered a strong performance over the first half of fiscal 2017 with a 14% growth in revenue compared with the corresponding period 1 year earlier. This is a pleasing result as we have restructured EMEA to build capacity and go direct in key markets in the region. We also acquired our long-term resellers in the Netherlands in September of 2016, and in January of 2017, we acquired our key reseller in the United Kingdom. I'm pleased to report that both China and APAC regions have delivered strong revenue growth in the first half of fiscal 2017 of 27% and 28%, respectively. We've been transforming our China operations to have a direct influence on frontline sales. This will allow Altium to be able to scale in an unimpeded way and to move Altium's business toward a recurring revenue model in China. In the APAC region, we have moved from an indirect to a direct sales model in Japan to take advantage of the opportunity that we see there. The Americas delivered revenue growth of 5% and sales growth of 6% over the first half of fiscal 2017. While renewals, upgrades, rejoins, and add-on business were all strong over the half, Altium's new logo sales in the Americas did not replicate the strong result achieved over the same period 1 year earlier, or the stellar performance of fiscal 2016. As Aram mentioned, market demand in the Americas remains strong, and Altium management is implementing organizational changes to further build capacity into its direct selling teams in the U.S. These measures will increase our extraction rate and place us on a track to achieving our full-year fiscal 2017 targets for the region of double-digit revenue growth. I'm pleased to report that the Altium's tasking business performed well over the first half to achieve $5.6 million U.S. in revenue, almost to the level achieved in the first half of fiscal 2016, and quite an achievement considering that tasking closed its largest ever multi-year transaction of $2.7 million last year to a Tier 1 automotive supplier in the first half. Even more impressive is the fact that this result has been achieved at the same time the tasking has undergone a transformation of its R&D and sales organizations as we prepare the business to take full advantage of the opportunities in the growing automotive market for tasking compiler technology. As our first major acquisition some 18 months ago, I'm pleased to share with you that Octopart has continued to grow in strength. During the first half of fiscal 2017, Octopart delivered revenue of US $3.5 up 65% on the same period 1 year earlier. In terms of cost, over the first half, the company's reported expenses grew 13% to $36.1 US, as I indicated at Altium's full-year fiscal 2016 results, cost management is a key focus for the business. The first half of 2017 was impacted by non-recurring expenses of approximately $1.9 million as we continued to drive efficiencies in our tasking organization and move further into our direct sales model for EMEA. As we move into the second half of 2017, we will be able to improve our operating leverage and EBITDA. Just as Altium's sales mindset of every seat counts, we're also committed to fiscal discipline with the mindset of every dollar counts. We look forward to bringing increased operating leverage into Altium's business as we drive greater systemization of our sales processes. This concludes the formal part of this call, and I'll now hand it over for Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Your first question comes from the line of Stuart McLachlan from Deutsche Bank. Please ask your question.
Hi, Aaron, Joe, and Kim. Just a few questions from me. In terms of the restructuring costs of around $2 million, I just wanted to check whether they've been stripped out of the $12.5 million EBITDA headline figure.
They are not. Our EBITDA is reported on everything all in.
Okay.
So.
Okay, thanks for that. And just in terms of subscriber seats, so they increased around 4%. That's certainly a little bit of a deceleration from previous growth trends. I guess if we look back at previous periods where you have increased subscriber prices, how long has the initial pushback persisted?
What, Stuart, this is Aram. It has not slowed down. 4% is what we expected for the first 6 months, so for the whole year. Generally, we had about the net amount of new subscribers is about 2,000-something per year. And in the first half, we've done about 1,200, roughly 1,200 additional subscriptions. So 4% essentially says for the first half, 4%, and then another 4%, or probably more in the second half, the total would be the same number. I think last year was about 3,000 we added. The year before was 2,000-something. So this year we're going to do close to those numbers.
And that 8% still keeps us on track with the 150 million pure PCB that we've talked in the past. So we think we're okay on that.
Okay. And just in terms of the Cartier platform, I guess, has there been any further discussions with Dassault? Is that relationship still ongoing from that side of things?
Yes, it is continuing quite strongly. I was in Shanghai meeting some of their high-end salespeople. So that partnership is continuing strongly. Obviously, it's at a different level to our SolidWorks partnership, but it has continued quite strongly.
Okay, thanks. And just final question for me. Given we're nearly 2 months of the year in, have you started to see an improvement in the Americas division, particularly post investing a little bit more in sales personnel?
Yes, we have. And we've definitely seen an uptick in terms of the opportunity flow as we move forward, which will help us clearly on the extraction rate and increasing the rate going forward.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot for that.
Your next question comes from the line of Chris Savage from Bell Potter. Please ask your question.
Thank you. Good morning, guys. Just a couple of points of clarification, please. The $100 million revenue target for FY17. Is that still pure PCB revenue, or is that total revenue?
The 100 million revenue would have been PCB and tasking, whereas when we say 150 million, that's pure PCB for the 2020. For 100 million is PCB and tasking, and then obviously we're going to get well past that. That's because of the acquisitions we've done. But with the PCB and tasking, we're going to hit our 100 million as per our expectations earlier in that whole phase.
Sure. So it doesn't include search advertising revenue, say, from Octopart.
That's right.
Correct. And just the EBITDA margin target for FY17, you're still expecting to exceed 30%?
Yes, we are.
And is that inclusive of the one-offs in the first half?
Yes, it is. Every okay. time we report EBITDA, the 30% is an inclusive number, an all-in number. We'll give you visibility into the non-recurring because we think that's important also. But our commitment, the line and length, is double-digit growth in revenue, 30% EBITDA.
Sure. And Aram, I know you're saying 5 to 10% of revenue by FY20 from the Salt and the like. Can you give us any idea what revenue contribution there is from that partnership now?
It's still early days. It's still not, you know, they are investing quite heavily into this partnership and into mobilizing their channel to get behind this product. The level of revenue is still not significant as yet.
Okay. And it might be a slightly unfair question, but you said you were in a few discussions with other companies regarding M&A or for further partnerships. Can you give us any idea of timing on when we might expect something to be forthcoming?
I mean, Chris, you know that we've been pursuing M&A activities and partnerships for quite some time.
Mm.
Our challenge is to be able to satisfy both equations, the strategic requirements and also the requirements that to do with our commitment to our line and length strategy. To satisfy both, it requires perseverance and patience on our part. So we actively engage, and we have got few fronts that are active, but obviously we're not going to do anything that will impact our line and length strategy. So we're constantly working on satisfying these two equations, but we're quite active.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Greg Taylor from Blue Ocean Equities. Please ask.
Hi, guys. Just two questions, if I may. Oh, the first one might be two questions in itself, but can you just give a little bit more colour around the enhancements or changes you've made to the US sales channel? And secondly, just better give a little bit more information around the one-off costs in transitioning to the direct sales model in the EMEA region, please.
Okay. So regarding the one-offs, I'll talk that really quickly. It's restructuring costs related to personnel moves for the most part, and then there's some acquisition-related costs as we picked up a couple of the resellers in that region. The balance of that is the tasking reorganization cost of that 1.9 million number set.
Okay. And the changes you're making in the U.S., please, or the changes you've made in the U.S.? And
yeah. So what happened last year, the U.S. was very much an explosive growth. We had a very large growth in the capacity and the sales. And to handle that, we needed to increase capacity. So we've taken a look at how our process flows on the transactional model, and we broke it into different elements. So now we have different process flows related to recurring revenue, related to add-on seats, and related to new logo closing, so new business. And that focus has allowed us to change the dynamic and increase our capacity. There is some headcount increase, but the real main issue is process improvement and continuous improvement of the process on our transactional model. So there's some new people involved, but there's also new organizational structures in how they do their business. Does that help?
Okay. It does a little, thank you. And just the final question was around the operating cash flow, very strong at $13.5 million. Can you just talk through what drove that strong cash outcome?
A lot of it was year-end turnover on AR coming forward, and then we've just been positively moving forward with our margins. I think it is really just a function of timing to some degree and AR turnover.
Okay, so through the cycle, because if you look at the first half last year, I understand it is always a little bit lumpy from period to period, but it was quite a soft result. But if, as the business matures and I guess you get further control over those receivables, what sort of conversion from your EBITDA are you expecting for operating cash flow? Should it convert pretty close to 90 or 100%?
Yeah, very close to 100%.
Yeah.
In honesty, the way we're converting, I mean, we've gotten smoother in terms of how we're doing renewals and things like that. So we're on a much crisper model, and our conversion of cash has always been positive. So AR has not been an issue. AR conversion has not been an issue for us in the past. It's really a timing of over periods, but we're getting cleaner on it.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Lucas Good from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
Hi, guys. Just wondering if you give us an update on the progress with Athena, whether you've started selling it yet or whether we should expect to see some sales by the end of the fiscal year.
We have already engaged with customers. Athena's go-to-market is different to our flagship product, which is, you know, mainstream and through widespread advertising. And so we've started the engagement, and yes, that's the case. With the same platform, which is the X2 technology, which the platform, that will be rolled out into Altium Designer product for 2018, later on this year. So these are two big events that are taking place this year. And both of them are going to drive revenue for us in the 2018,
19,
and
20. Thanks.
Again, for those who wish to ask questions, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from the line of Andrew Tan from Bell Potter. Please ask your question.
Morning, Aaron. Morning, Joe. Just a question about China. So can you provide more colour on what you've done in the Chinese channel and remind us on how large the potential opportunity is?
Well, you know, Andrew, we've been talking about China. We've been working on China for quite some time. And we always knew that China was a great opportunity for Altium, just purely because we just got so many people using our software in China. But the key part of our equation is being able to convert that to revenue, and we've managed to break through one of the obstacles, which is the frontline sales in terms of being able to scale the activities, our operations in China. We had to actually take over the frontline sales, which is the closing part. We have always used resellers for that purpose, and
yep,
that has allowed us to get through one hurdle, which is the closing part, and the other part that we still got to work through is the front end of it, which is identification of companies and businesses that use our software, and that requires a certain kind of amount of work. It's all business of license compliance. But to give you an example, for example, we have put something in our software that tells us the utilization level. We've had 8,000 active people using our AD17 in China, and in truth, only 700 of them actually should be using it. We have only collected money for 700, and we have got 28,000 people using it. So you can see the potential. If we can actually scale our operations compliance, it will be tremendous.
Okay, and I guess Octopart as well, like that was quite strong growth. What is driving that growth? Is it the integration into Altium Designer? Is it third-party apps? What's the driver of that growth?
It's just that semiconductor industry and distributors, they're pushing hard to get a greater share of the emerging market, and they've got to spread to a much larger number of engineers in order to drive their sales. So they're using different media for their advertising and communication, and Octopart is the recipient of that activity. They're just young business, and they're growing at a much greater rate than us.
Okay, so that's not an unusual period, that's just the trend?
Yep.
All right, thank you.
Again, for those who wish to ask questions, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced.